This past April, 11 female leatherback turtles set out on the Great Turtle Race, which traces their regular migration from Costa Rica to waters near the Galapagos Islands. During the race, I spoke about the contestants and why leatherback turtles appear to be doomed to extinction with Dr. James Spatilla, a professor at Drexel University and the founder of the Leatherback Trust. Recent news reports indicate that some of the racing turtles have disappeared and that they may be dead. So we asked Dr. Spatilla to come on the show again to give us an update on the race and explain what might have happened to the disappeared turtles. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Can you give us a quick review of the race back in April?
Well, back in April, we followed the migration of 11 turtles from the National Park Los Baules in Costa Rica in Guanacaste Province down to the Galapagos Islands. And we did that. Each turtle was sponsored by a company or a nonprofit organization like Drexel. And they were on a website called thegreatturtlerace.com. And you could follow them. You could adopt a turtle. You could find out about the biology of turtles. And so that race went on for 2 weeks. And the winner was Billy. And she won in, I think, 11 days.
Now, they were tagged so that they could be followed by satellites?
Yes. They had a satellite transmitter on their back, wearing a little backpack. And that's supposed to stay on for a year, year and a half, and then fall off.
Forgive me if this sounds cynical, but was this really about racing, or was it just a way to draw the public's attention to a very dire situation?
Well, we've been tagging, and scientists tag lots of animals, sea turtles, for example, and share that information among each other. But it occurred to us that the public at large doesn't learn much about it. And this would be an opportunity to educate people about the turtles and about the science going on.
Are the leatherbacks the only turtles that have this route that start in Costa Rica and then go to the Galapagos?
They're the only sea turtles in the out there in the Pacific that do it. Olive ridley turtles sort of wander out around but don't migrate in a particular corridor.
After the race was over, I'm assuming that the scientists continued to monitor the turtles' whereabouts.
Right.
All through that satellite tagging?
Yeah, the satellite tags were put on basically in February, and what we did is time delayed the race so that they would all appear to be leaving the same day in April. But we've been following those animals from that time to the present time, and that's how we of course noticed that some of the turtles disappeared.
How many?
Four turtles.
Four out of 11.
Out of 11. And they disappeared. Stephanie Cobertal and Drexelina both disappeared right around the Galapagos, just west of the Galapagos, if I remember correctly. And so we waited a while because sometimes the signals will stop. There's a saltwater switch on the transmitter. When the turtle comes to the surface, it breaks the contact and then allows the transmitter to transmit. And if that gets fouled with algae or something, sometimes the switch won't work. And so you wait to see whether or not it'll come back on.
But at this time, you're assuming that they're lost.
Yeah, either the transmitter is stopped, it's fouled some way, it fell off prematurely, or the turtle has gone down.
Is this rate of 4 out of 11 on a par with overall percentages of population decrease in recent years?
The population decrease, when we have a group of turtles leave the beach, what we call a cohort, their rate of mortality or a disappearance appears to be about 20% a year. So this is twice what we would expect.
And we're talking about animals that have been on Earth for 65 million years, but if I remember correctly, when we talked in April, we discussed the possibility that these leatherback turtles may disappear completely.
Right. The ones in the Pacific are declining at a rate that would suggest that they'll be gone in, say, 10 years. Now, by gone, I mean there might be a couple hanging around, but not many.
What are the main threats to their existence?
The threats historically have been taking of the eggs. People used to take all their eggs off the beach. So, of course, you had no baby turtles. And then they get caught by fishermen, either long lines, which are set to catch swordfish or sharks or something, or nets. in the Pacific, and we think probably half the mortality is due to long lines and half maybe due to nets along the coast.
Plastic bags?
Pardon?
People throwing plastic bags in the water?
Yeah, plastic bags. A couple of years ago, we had a turtle lay a plastic bag on the beach, which was interesting. She started laying her eggs, and a plastic bag came out instead of eggs. So it had passed through her system.
So these are all correctable situations,
absolutely,
aren't they? Scientists have been saying that jellyfish populations are exploding. Couldn't that be good news for the turtles because they eat jellyfish?
It could be a good news for the turtles. In the Pacific, turtles have more difficulty than the Atlantic because food is not as abundant and it's more patchy in distribution. There have been a lot of increase in different areas of jellyfish. The question is whether they're increasing in the areas where the turtles are looking for them. So it could be good. And the other thing it could be good is we've, for example, Las Baulas, we stopped taking of eggs, poaching of eggs, and by about 93. And so we've been getting more new turtles coming, nesting for the first time. About half of the turtles this past year were first-time nesters. So we're encouraged that protection on the beach is going to improve. But the curious thing is that the big threat now on the beach is not poaching and not local people who've adopted the turtles and are ecotourism guides and make money from it, but developers from the U.S. and elsewhere who want to build on the beach because they love the turtles so much. They want to put their house right on the beach so they could take care of them.
So they want to be near the turtles, and they destroy the turtles' habitat.
Right, exactly.
And this is not just leatherback turtles. I've been reading about how loggerhead turtles on the eastern seaboard have been suffering from dramatic population losses over the last 10 years. For the same reasons?
I think similar reasons. I think probably fishing has really done a job on the loggerheads. The biggest population of loggerheads in the world used to be Florida, the Atlantic coast, and those are the numbers that have declined tremendously. We've got turtle excluder devices on shrimp nets, but still some turtles are being lost, and could be they're being lost in earlier life stages out in the middle of the Atlantic someplace.
Are any species of turtles doing well?
Let's see. Any species of turtles doing... Red-eared sliders are doing real well in local waters. They're an invasive species. Dime store turtles that people let go. But now, in terms of sea turtles, Kemp's Ridleys that nest in Mexico, Rancho Nuevo, Mexico, are doing much better than they were, but there are only about 5,000 females in that population. So better than 300, but still very, very much in trouble.
You mentioned that Stephanie Colbertle was one of the ones that died, named after Stephen Colbert.
Right.
Has he sent condolences?
Not to me. I need to get in touch with him and talk to him about that.
Meanwhile, is there anything that we can do?
Well, I think, you know, we hope to... If we find the turtles come back, we'll let people know if they come back online. Otherwise, certainly pay attention to the situation and support turtle conservation and look for the race next year. We expect to do a great turtle race, too.
We have links on our show page at WNYC.org, so listeners can find out more about the Great Turtle Race, the Leatherback Trust, and also listen to our earlier interview that we did in April. And I want to thank you so much for being with us again.
It's my pleasure.
Dr. James Spatilla, who is a professor at Drexel University and founder of the Leatherback Trust. The View's co-host Joy Behar asked 100 people, including Carol Burnett, Mario Cuomo, and Diane Sawyer, what they do when they're feeling blue. Up next, she reveals how they cope with a bad day. And you can join the conversation by leaving a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. This is WNYC and WNYC.org, New York Public Radio. We're also available as a podcast.